From this passage we want to speak this morning from this subject, it's hard to really believe. Amen. Thank you for standing this morning as we share and read the gospel of God. We're at a time when there are a lot of people who have a problem believing that God is real. Why would you say that, preacher? Just look around. Look in the world. Even church people seem to put more credence in what medical community has to say, in what government officials have to say, rather than what God has to say. It's something that we have to strive a little to understand. And as we recognize who we are as humans, it's not that difficult to see how it happens. It's hard to really believe. There are different levels of believing in life. Is that right?
Amen.
People believe at different clips, if you will. And that's regarding anything. And certainly it even is true when we talk about believing in God. Amen. There are levels of believing in God. What do you mean, preacher? There are some people who we might know who would tell you that they believe in God. And they're talking about as a generic believing. They believe that there is a higher power. But what God is referring to here in this passage, because Jesus is physically on earth, he's at that point of ascending back into heaven, but he has come down and physically presented himself. He has suffered and died for our sake. He's been crucified on the cross. And now, before ascension, he is having some contact with some of the people who knew about him. And what Jesus is finding out is that even for these who knew him, it's hard to really believe. And there are three things I want to share with you this morning regarding it's hard to really believe. First, we're going to talk about questioning. Questioning. Secondly, we're going to talk about disappointment. And thirdly, we're going to talk about confirmation. Questioning, disappointment, and confirmation. And I need for y'all just to relax for a little while. You know, I understand this. As we are gathered here, and this is our first time to resume worship service, sometimes we'll even ask ourselves, well, how should I act? Do people expect me to be quiet? Is it okay to clap your hands in this environment? I come to tell you, that's up to each person. Because what I ask myself is, I wonder if God is worthy to be praised. And then I clap my hands. I'm okay with that. I stomp my feet sometime. Maybe nobody else will. But all I'm saying is that it's going to be an individual thing. I noticed some of the things that people were told to do during this time of crisis. And it's easing up a little now. But I remember when they were telling everybody to wear a mask. And I may have been the only one not wanting to wear a mask. I wasn't the only one. But, yeah, some of us just didn't see the necessity of it, I guess you might say. And that may be foolish in the eyes of some people. It's hard to believe you don't need a mask. Amen. But I come by to tell you, God is different from what a lot of people think. Will you say amen? God is different. It doesn't mean I'm weak, that I may not be at that point of knowing what some others have known. But we can all grow to that knowledge and that level of belief that we'll trust God for everything. Yeah. When we talk about questioning, I'll take you back to the story from the scriptures that we read this morning. We got to remember, we want to put this in its context, put it in its place. Remember, Jesus has been crucified already. And now, after crucifixion, there are two men, two followers of Jesus, who are now walking on this road to Emmaus. And they're walking by themselves and they're talking about things that have occurred. And as they are walking, Jesus comes along and comes and starts to walk with them. But what the scripture showed us is that they did not recognize Jesus as being Jesus. Huh? And so as they walk in, Jesus asked them a question. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, he just say, what are y'all talking about? You seem so sad. What are you discussing? And the men say, where have you been? Don't you know what's been going on? And they go on and explain the story, say, Jesus was taken from us and he was crucified. And he was put in a grave. Lo and behold, some women came and told us as a group that when they went to the sepulcher to take care of the body of Jesus, that he was gone. That's what they're saying here in the scripture. He wasn't there. And some of them even said when they looked in, they saw a vision of angels. And the angels told them, he's not here, he has risen. And so these two men, as they're walking, they're followers of Jesus, but they are questioning. What is it they're questioning? They're questioning what's real and what's not. They're questioning about what Jesus had said to them versus what's happening in reality. I tell you, it's not unusual for people to question. It's okay for us to even have questions today. We don't have all the answers to life. Is that right? Yes. Will anybody admit that? We don't have all the answers to life. Even if you are a Bible scholar and you're studying all the time, you're not going to immediately find the answers to life. But what we find is that with God, he can provide. He can open our understanding for many things. And so as the men walk and they're questioning and they're replaying the events of what has occurred to this man who's walking with them, not recognizing that this is Jesus. And they go on and you see here in the verse when the man told Jesus, he said, certain one of them, one of the disciples, went to the sepulcher, and he was checking on the story of what the women said there in verse 24 and said, we found it was even so as the women had said, but we didn't find the body. There are some people who will never accept that Jesus is real because they've not found the body. They would never accept that Jesus was crucified and that he rose from the grave because they couldn't find the body. The truth is, the level of belief even today, even in churches, is going to be different from person to person. How do we know that? We just look at life and look at the way people treat the very life that God has given us to live. What's important to us? Question it. And sometimes, after replaying the events, these men, these two who were walking and then Jesus joined them, they were suspicious. They had to wonder to themselves what happened to the body. If they went to the grave and the stone had been rolled away, why was the body not there? It's just an example of them thinking that what could have possibly happened to the body. Their mind did not go to what Jesus had said. Jesus has said on the third day, I'm going to rise. I'm going to get, they didn't take that literally, that Jesus meant rising from the grave, that Jesus meant conquering death, but that's exactly what it, how many of us today actually believe that Jesus rose from the dead with all power in his hand? That's the level of belief that we have to come to. And our suspicions, like these two disciples had, will go away. And beside questioning, we come to the point of disappointment. Where's the disappointment, preacher, in this? Is that when Jesus heard what they were saying, if you go down to verse 25, I'm going to read it again. This was Jesus' response to them replaying the events. Then he said unto them, unto the two men, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That was the question. All Jesus is saying to us, to them, and likewise to us, is don't you believe what the prophets said? To us today, Jesus was saying, don't you believe what the Bible teaches? Don't you believe the truth of the Bible? And he would say to us, look at what I have recorded through my men in the Bible, and you will see that I told them I was going to die. I told them I was going to get up out of the grave. I told them I had power that men and women could not stop. Say, you're slow of heart and you're slow to believe. And we throw that out to us as churches today. We can't be slow to believe that God has all power. We got to rise up and know that God is able. I recognize this. I may not be as immune to things as I think I am. But I recognize that even if God allowed something to attack me or something to befall me, I can't let that change what I know about God. Do you see what I'm saying? I still got to know that God is able. I still got to know God is powerful. We think back to even this being Mother's Day. Yes, for many of us, our mothers are gone, but we can't dwell on that. We got to look at the greatness and the beauty of God having provided that mother to begin with. So it will never be a day of sorrow for me. It's going to be a day of celebration. Why? Because I know, first, life is not forever. That may be a news flash to somebody, but life is not forever. And whether it's from a virus or a plane crash or a motorcycle accident, life is fleeting. And if somebody doesn't believe it, just go read the Bible. And once we come to understand that, then we start trying to protect ourselves from those things that might take us out of here. And we recognize that it's only God who controls that. Only God. I remember years ago I had a motorcycle accident downtown. I mentioned this before. Came through an intersection downtown Houston, right at the intersection of St. Joseph Hospital. And as I pulled out into the intersection, I had a green light, I remember. And this car came through the intersection from the other way, hit the front wheel of my motorcycle. Didn't hit my leg, towed a bike up, knocked it out from under me, landed on my rear. Car kept going, the driver kept going for two blocks. Before they turned around and came back. Policemen said they came back because they probably saw you get up and walk to the side. They knew you weren't dead. In other words, you could testify about what had happened, I'm sure. But the whole point, what do you understand? Do I understand that God could have taken me out right there? Huh? So I give God praise. And there are many other times, and if you examine your life, do you know there have been some opportunities for God to say, your last day is already here? And if he has not said that, there is a reason why God has spared you and a reason why you and I ought to give God some praise. He's worthy to be praised. And when I think about that disappointment that Jesus expressed, that must have been hard. These two men had been following Jesus when he was living. They had been watching him preach and teach, and didn't name, the exact name was Cleophas and a second person, but they'd been following Jesus, and now they have concerns. And Jesus is disappointed. Do you know we don't want Jesus to be disappointed in us? We don't want Jesus to say that we are doubtful believers. We want to know that we're doing the best that we can. And that's why it's important to come to that third point, and that's the confirmation. The confirmation is verses 29 through 31. And let me just share with you again what those verses said. 29 say, they constrain him being Jesus, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. He went in to tarry with them. Came to pass as he sat with meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him. And then he vanished out of sight. What's the confirmation? The confirmation was for Jesus to say, I am who I said I am. I am the one who you knew. I am the one who was crucified. I am the one who they put in the grave. But I also am the one who got up. With power in my hand. That's what Jesus is saying. By explaining to them, I'm the one. And when their eyes came open, it simply meant that they had come to the point in their spiritual life where they were able to recognize who Jesus was. Isn't that a good thing? They come to the point in their spiritual life where they were able for Jesus to show himself to them and let them know that he was alive. All we're saying today, church, is it's hard to really believe. It's not hard to play church. It's not hard to make somebody think that we love the Lord. And by they, I mean people in the world. There are some people in the world who will talk about Jesus, but they don't really believe him. They talk about Jesus, but they don't really trust him. Not the way he wants people to trust him. Jesus wants us to trust him what? Completely. Now, what is completely? Completely is just what it says. With nothing lacking, nothing doubting. Trust him to the point that when we face a challenge in our life, before we call on even our doctor, we ought to call on Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Am I studying the right Bible? Yeah. It ought to be that we know that Jesus will be there for us, and he's closer to us even than that mother who we love. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. How can he be closer than a mother? He created the mother that we love. And so if we think about it, even when our mother's gone, our father's gone, there's somebody who will be and is always with us. That's Jesus. He is there. And because he's always there, it means we can always call on him. And because we can call on him, it ought to be easier for us to really believe. So I challenge you this morning. Really believe. Believe that Jesus is who he said he is. Believe that he did come physically to the earth and born into this world as a child so that he could grow up. So that he could was here for a mission. It wasn't a holiday for him. He had work that had to be done. And so as he completed his mission, he went to Calvary's cross. He went to Calvary's cross so he could pay the price. So that you and I would have that opportunity to lift him up, to praise him. When we sing the Zion songs, you know why it fills us? Because we're praising God from the inside out. When we say our hallelujahs, it's because we feel God is part of us now. Because he's given us an opportunity and he indwells us. He lifts us when we're at our lowest moment. When we've been dealing with this crisis for the last 2 or 3 months or whatever it's been, there have been some times when you may have felt like you had nobody by your side, nobody to count on, nobody to depend on, didn't know what tomorrow would bring. But when you thought about Jesus, it gave you a lift. It picked you up. And that's what serving God really is all about. So we just say to you, God is a mighty good God. And he's not going to stop being a mighty good God because of what we're dealing with. And so we need to be the ones to spread that message to people. Be as respectful as you can to guidance. Be as respectful as you can to guidelines. But I've got to know that through it all, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. We want to stop and just take a little time. We open the doors of the church always because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And no matter what today might be in terms of recognition, it's a time for us all to know we need to give our life to Jesus Christ. If there's anyone present, and you have never given your life to Jesus, we do want to invite you to do that right now. What do we mean, give your life to Jesus? Just as Jesus allowed these two who were walking on the road to Emmaus to come to know who he was and not have any doubt about who he was, we can do that. God can make it possible for you to know in your heart that he is a way maker, that he is a burden bearer. Is there one who would come now to allow God to complete your spiritual walk, to give you exactly what you need, to know that that door to heaven is open and no man or woman can close it once you confess and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? Is there one who will get up and come on this morning?
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."